Strap yourself in, because we're set up, switched on, and ready to go.
Yes, sir. Reading you loud and clear. Clear. The clock has started.
Episode of our podcast. Today we are going to interview some of the greatest and most influential minds in our field. By sharing our collective expertise, we will show you how to harness, control, and use your own skill set to achieve ultimate success and live the life you want. And now, please welcome your host.
Welcome to this week's Smallest Cast podcast. This podcast is designed for small government contractors, service providers, and manufacturers as part of the government contractor ecosystem, connecting people, organizations, and resources. I'm your host, Just Nate, and this week, sitting in my office across from me is one ugly mug, DK. Welcome, Dennis.
I'm on like this little short chair, too. I'm like, yeah. Things hit me in the face.
Yeah, because you're so tall. Now he's talking about the microphone hitting the face. Okay, guys. Okay, Dennis, we have we have two people. We got a picture. We can prove it. We have two people on the line with us. We've got Brent Nichols and Andrew Bossert. They are both business development consultants with SBI Advisors, and they're also partners in the LT Capital Ventures. So with that, I'm going to say hello to both Brent and Andrew. Welcome, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Hey, DK, Nate, how are you?
Doing good.
We're doing good. Welcome to our craziness. So I want you guys to know that, you know, our goal in life someday is we want to get Joe Rogan on the show. I don't know if, Dennis, if you saw what I just sent you.
No.
So, okay, you know our buddies over at Model Outdoors, right?
Yes.
So for... if you guys ever get a chance, go listen to our podcast about Model Outdoors. Phenomenal company. They make water bottles. The world's first multi-tool for water.
Yep.
Okay, our world's first
water's first multi-tool. Water's
first, yeah. Anyway, guess what was spotted on the Joe Rogan podcast?
No way.
A model bottle, a Model Outdoor bottle. Dude.
Nice.
It was pretty sweet.
Nice. All from the smalls.
They are a company of three people, guys. These guys are phenomenal. So, anyway, okay, wow. So... we've got, let me understand. Andrew, you're out in California, right?
That's correct.
And Brent, you're in Arizona?
Yeah, down in Tucson. And it sounds like being on your podcast, big things are to come. So
that's right.
You guys better be ready. You are not going to be able to handle the influx what's coming your way, okay?
Mobs. Hey, so how's the weather down in Tucson down there?
Choice, absolutely choice, because it's reliable. Which means right now it's stupid hot.
Yeah, always 122 degrees.
Winter's always about, you know, less than 9 months away, and so I couldn't be happier with the consistency. I know to crank up the AC about this time and then get to prepare for heaven for about 3-4 months. So
no, there you go.
Is it hotter than Phoenix or about the same?
No, Phoenix is absolute hell, literally. I mean, you're talking about 10, 15 degrees more up there. There's a lot more asphalt. It's a miserable place. I'm down in Vail, which is just outside of Tucson. And you drop it a couple degrees, it feels like a true oasis.
Did you say asphalt or ass? Never mind.
I have a new button I've got to use.
Hey, all right, let's get on to the show.
Yes,
we haven't had many people from Tucson. Matter of fact, I think you're the first.
I spent a week in Phoenix, and I agree with you about absolute hell. I'm sure it's a beautiful place, and I'm sure it's great people that live there. But when you go to a movie that starts at midnight, and it's like 118 degrees, and you get out at 2:30 in the morning, and it's still 112 degrees. Yeah, nope. They're like, it's a dry heat. I'm like, so is my oven, but you don't see me sticking my head in there.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Tell us. Okay. Go ahead. Get started. Tell us about Sibbers Advisors.
Well, SBIR. Before you go there, is it Sibbers, like SBIR Advisors?
Am I saying
that's
it right?
Correct. Yeah, SBIR Advisors. Oh. Sibber Advisors.
Okay.
You made me second guess myself, Dennis. I don't like that.
Well, I didn't know if it was like actual small business. What's small business? Small business?
Yeah. Well, there's small business and then there's.
No. But what's Sibber mean? Small business.
Well, why don't we ask them? It's their company.
I can't remember what it stands for.
Yeah. So Small Business Innovative Research, which is a federal program that was started back in the 80s to bring new companies into the federal government's fold. And it has been reinvigorated by the Department of Defense, specifically by the Air Force, since 2016, 2017, when the Air Force stood up AFWERCS out of Nellis Air Force Base. It's near Nellis, but it's in Las Vegas, Nevada. And so the name, Sam Rain, founded the company in September of 2020. So almost a year ago, he founded the company and he decided to name it Sibber Advisors so that our potential clients, future clients knew that, you know, we were here to help them navigate the SBIR process.
Which I think is a very good thing because it's a starting point, right? I mean, you guys focus on Sibbers phase 1, 2, 3, all the above, or what?
All the above to include STTRs. So the main difference with the STTR is the company has to partner with a nonprofit or a research institution. So we work both of them in all three phases.
So for those of those people out there that don't know, what is an STTR? What does that stand for?
That is the Science and Technology Transfer Research Program. And so that is just another program to get nonprofits and research institutions to partner with those small startups to develop unique technologies and to bring those to end users within the DoD.
Do they maintain I haven't met a whole lot of companies that have done an STTR. Do you get a main, because you're partnered with nonprofits and or universities, are they able to maintain IP rights and anything like that? Patents or anything?
Yeah, certainly. And that's actually it's one of the documents that they have to submit with their phase 1 and phase 2 proposals under an STTR is the allocation of rights. And so we as supervisors, we have a standard template, but we advise them, you know, if you'd like to use your own to the startup that's partnering with the nonprofit or the research institution, to go ahead and make sure that they hammer that out before they submit their proposal as to who keeps their rights, the IP, IP rights, et cetera, under a phase 1 or a phase 2 contract.
Fair enough. I know that was always a big thing. I had a professor in my undergrad, and he got his PhD from Purdue, and he invented the portable heart monitor, that like a portable EKG machine they just put on the chest. And he's like, it was awesome. That was one of my like projects that he did to finish out his PhD, but he got zero money from it. And it's like a hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars thing that now the university has taken because he did it while at the university. So
that's one part of your business, right? The what was the name again? SBIR Advisors.
Yes, SBIR Advisors. That is the core of the business.
Well, but then now you have also another piece that leads over to the financial side, right?
Correct. And so the other piece and how we differentiate ourselves from other consulting firms in that space is we also developed LT Capital Ventures and then partner with 6 other venture capital firms whose thesis is all around dual use technologies and applying that dual use technology towards a DoD mission set.
So let me see if I understand this. So if I'm a small company, we're starting out, I got this idea for solar panels, whatever, and I come to you guys, I want to, you know, there's some SBIRs out there. Do you help them find the SBIRs? And then worked through the whole process to get them to a state to apply to the SBIRs. And then you can also offer them some venture capital funding if they need that too. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So we do. So the core business is consulting on SBIR, STTR contracts, but we also expand that to other organizations, other commercial solution openings or BAAs that are out there on the fbo.sam.gov website. The other piece, that the financial piece, is LT Capital Ventures, which we stood up because we noticed that we had clients coming to us that were not only looking for consulting help, but they were also looking for an investment. And so we wanted to go ahead and take, you know, be able to have a vehicle that we could invest in these startups that we were helping win contracts through the SBIR, SETR process.
So are you guys like Shark Tank where, you know, you'll say, all right, Bob, I like your idea. For 20%, chop on that sucker. We'll give you this money.
20%? It's like 80%, isn't it? Yeah. I'll give you $1 million for 80%.
I'll let you keep one of your products. We'll get all the rest.
Well, you know, you guys are actually hitting on something kind of interesting, because what's so unique about the SBIR program is it is a way for new companies, startups, trying to look for funding, because the end of that road is far too close for a lot of them. And they see it. They know they have great tech. They know there's a defense need out there, or there's a commercial need out there. But they just keep having to give up pieces of their company. And yeah, we stood up LT Capital because we knew that there was opportunity there for them and for us.
Right.
But from an SBIR standpoint, it is a true bright spot in government procurement when it comes to taking on funding, allowing you to continue to research and develop and find that customer without diluting any of your equity. And so that's one of the reasons what we focused on that. Like Andrew said, we do other things, other opportunities. The SBIR is a really a bright spot when it comes to startups wanting to do business with the government.
I like that model. I do. I like that a lot. So you have your internal LT Cap. Is LT Capital stand for anything, by the way? Is it Light Capital? Is it, what, is there a name or?
LT being a play on. Just a play on the lowest rank on the officer totem pole, right, Lieutenant? And so that's the LT there.
Okay, no, that's good. That's fair. All right, so Lieutenant Capital, I got you. So.
Well, don't call it that. We won't get.
I won't. It's LT Capital.
Capital. Yeah, let's stick with LT.
So you guys. You're not doing it alone. You said there's other venture capitalists as part of this, right? So you bring them in as well, or do you guys manage the funds for them, saying, hey, you know, these guys have great tech. You know, they're looking for $10 million. I know it's probably not that much, but they're looking for $10 million. And you guys maintain that, or do you actually bring in the other venture capitalists too into this team?
Yeah, so... our relationship with other VCs it started with the cyber advisors portion. This idea that we have a unique insight into government acquisitions. I don't know if we've mentioned both former Air Force active duty officers working in contracting and procurement. We know acquisitions well. We know the government landscape better than most. And so that in and of itself provides a unique value, especially to just thinking about that Silicon Valley type who's got a great idea, they've got great tech, but they just can't navigate it. And this is the government's fault. They make it difficult. They make it complex. And so we try to simplify it. And so through that process, we slowly just started building these relationships with more and more and more VCs. And they're saying, hey, we've got a portfolio of 5-6 companies that are ready right now to go to that CIBR program. Can we work together? And so we started doing that. And then what we realized over time is, beyond building those relationships with those VCs, that we have this cool view of companies in their early stages doing incredible things. Why don't we invest in that? And so that's when we created that LT Capital arm of what we do outside of CIBR advisors, so that we can be ready to capitalize and kind of put our money where our mouth is. If we're going to go to our government customers and end users and say, hey, this is great, we better believe it. And so that's kind of the impetus behind it.
So did you guys both get out as butter bars?
No.
Hey, if you ever get out of the butter bar, something went really wrong.
Very wrong. Well, yeah. You didn't volunteer to get out if you got out of the butter bar.
Hey, so I did have a question for you. You know, you said that, you know, this sounds like a good thing. Well, what if you're like a guy like me and say, hey, I see opportunity here too. Can people provide funding into your, do you guys put it in a pot or do into each individual's, you know, provide funding? Is there an opportunity there where you can say, hey, we have this pot of money that we can give to people as venture capitalists from LT Capital, but it's, you know, people put into that. Is that an option?
They'll just look for angels to put into their capital ventures.
Definitely an option.
So that's part of the plan, right?
Yeah, no, I like that.
Yeah, no, and we're getting in that direction, right? So we've been operating almost a year now, strictly focusing on that Sitter Consulting piece. And now as we're growing the LT Capital Venture piece, what we're moving forward on is utilizing a SPAC or a special acquisition company to get the funds in there and make that investment. And so that is an option for angel investors to, you know, invest in these companies that we're working with is through that SPAC that is being developed by a third party, and they will manage that. But we will, you know, direct the investment.
I like that. So
you're essentially
in.
Bringing the tech.
They're finding the tech. Yeah, that's good.
And then do you guys just charge a fee to those investors then?
80%.
Yeah,
so the model there. But we keep so the model's still being ironed out because a big part of what, you know, we have to acknowledge here is while the SBIR program, SBIR, has been around since the 80s, the way it's been being applied in the government really is very new. We're talking just a couple of years, particularly in the Air Force. This is where we spend a lot of our time because the Air Force is shown to be so open to different types of technologies. They're basically saying, hey, we don't know what our problems are. And so a big part of that is seeing these successes happen over and over again. So not only can the SBIR program build a reputation, but we can build a reputation of saying, look at this company that we started with, you know, whatever value they were, whatever they did, and then they were able to develop under the government. And now here, you know, in the SBIR program, we don't have enough time to go into all of it today, goes through several phases. Look at the $60 million phase three that we nurtured from a $50,000 contract to $60 million over, you know, 18 months to 2 years. And so we're being patient on that front. I don't see us doing anything too unusual as it pertains to breaking the mold with VCs. We're learning a lot from our partners and what's been successful to them. And so I think that what the final form looks like will be familiar, but still, you know, to be determined.
Well, I would suggest to you too, because I get newsletters from, I'm a business development guy too for our company, and I get all the SBIR, STTIR notifications from across the DOD, and you know it is plentiful, not just the Air Force for sure. I know, or Space Force now. I know you guys kind of focused on that, but as I look across, there's so much out there. I do agree with you guys that this is an emerging area, and we have to take a pause. So we'll do that real quick.
Yes. When we come back, we're going to ask a few more questions that I've been collecting as we've been going along here. So if you guys give us a minute, we'll be back with you after a word from our sponsors.
The Department of Defense has gotten very serious about cybersecurity. The DoD just passed a new mandate called the CMMC that all government contractors must adhere to. In the near future, you will not be able to do business with the Department of Defense unless your company follows the CMMC protocol. Devil Dog Cybersecurity partners with government contractors to create and implement robust cybersecurity solutions that meet the DoD requirements. Our team of engineers have a large depth of knowledge in the CMMC and the NIST 800-171. Solutions can be implemented in as little as 30 to 90 days, depending on the size and scope of the project. Best of all, DevilDog has an affordable pricing structure specifically designed for small to medium-sized businesses. The big question is your firm ready for a CMMC audit? contact Devil Dog Cybersecurity and receive a free vulnerability assessment with no obligation. Register for your free assessment at devildogcyber.com. Devil Dog is here to make cybersecurity compliance affordable, fast, and painless for your company. Devil Dog Cybersecurity is one of the few companies designated as a registered provider organization by the CMMC accreditation body. This means our solutions adhere to the complex standards and requirements of the CMMC board. Register for your free assessment at devildogcyber.com. Devil Dog is here to make cybersecurity compliance affordable, fast, and painless for your company.
Welcome back to this week's Smallest Cast Podcast. This week, we've got DK in the house. Welcome, DK.
Thanks a lot, Nate.
And on the phone, we have both Brent and Andrew from SBIR Advisors and LT Capital Ventures. Welcome back, guys.
Hey, thank you for having us again.
That was scary.
Me there. Brent, are you still there? I want to make sure, you know, the tech is a little hard for you.
Hey, I don't know what the final form will look like, but you're going to have to do some editing.
No.
Dancing, and I can't wait to see the final product.
No, I actually like it like this. Yeah. Nate's always like, I want to edit it. I'm like, no, don't edit it. Leave it, because I think it's awesome.
It's real life.
It's reality, man.
It's reality. Maybe that's why we haven't got Joe Rogan on the show yet, though. He's like, these guys are such hacks. Okay, so you guys kind of walked us through. I want to understand. So my first question for you guys, are you guys owners or are you guys, you had said there was a Sam Rain that founded SBIR Advisors. Is he still there with you guys?
Yeah. He's the head honcho doing his thing, man. Yeah, and so we are partner owned.
Okay.
In both respects, and so as we continue to grow, we're evolving. We're startups like the startups we work with. We just happen to have a certain level of expertise that allows us to not seem that way. But yeah, we are wholly owned and pieced out amongst our group there.
And I had a question kind of based on that. Are you guys regional, national? You're down in the Southwest, I want to call it, although California probably would get upset by that. But, are you guys regionally focused or nationally? You're going to go nationally probably, but what's your actual focus?
We're actually globally focused. So
globally.
We work, with clients in Australia, clients in England, and then clients all over the U.S.
Okay.
You want to make sure that they're allies with the United States and our partner nations, or companies that are in our partner nations. And so that's, our consultants are spread out all across the U.S. as well. So that allows us, the ability to cover companies from all over the U.S. as well as, around the world.
And do you support Catalyst Campus kind of thing, activities, or the local TechStars? How are you guys?
Nonprofits.
Yeah, how are you guys tied into some of these accelerators? Or do you do that, or you just help them with, hey, a small company's looking for somebody to help them through the SBIR process, or do you actually work also in any of the accelerators?
Yeah, so that's a good question. There's a lot of movement in that space. Catalyst Campus being one of the leaders, and they were on the forefront of looking at what the Air Force was doing, again, in particular. Again, I should reiterate, it's not only the Air Force. We don't do only Air Force. They just happen to have a unique model. It allows people to be able to capitalize on it at any given time.
Yep.
That is very unique. But the Catalyst Campus and other accelerators, absolutely. And so it's a matter of the client and their attitude towards teaming, and sometimes they want to go on their own. Hey, we got this. You just tell us how to navigate. Some say, hey, yes, there's the SBIR program. There's also the STTR program, where you do want to build these relationships with nonprofits and academia and things where you can kind of tap into each other's resources. And that's great for both parties. And so there's a lot of different ways. There's no one way to do it, but yes, we absolutely have to stay tapped in to what those guys are doing, the accelerators, even though there's a lot of moving and shaking going on. It's hard to keep up sometimes because they're huge assets to what we do.
Right. All right, Nate, you had some questions.
Yeah, so I would like to find out how, you know, we keep getting more and more of these VCs on and trying to understand venture capital versus angel capital or angel investors. But you guys said LT Capital Ventures. Do you guys actually take a portion at that point when you guys invest?
Yes. So the good question. And so I do think what's unique about our model is that we kind of fell into the VC part of it, right? Because we had so many partners, we saw what was going on. We were having these conversations and having a better understanding of what kind of company is going to be successful through this program. And so truthfully, we start with the SBI, the SBIR advisors part of what we do first. Not to say that couldn't change or we wouldn't look to make outside investments. And we certainly look to do so with our VC partners through the way they run their funds. But we truly start here with, hey, what kind of client are they? What kind of tech do they have? And most importantly, what kind of defense need is there? Is there a defined defense need? Because there's some really cool tech out there. There's some stuff, people doing some amazing things. But either one, the defense isn't ready for, or two, it just doesn't fit. And so once we're able to filter these things out, then we start having that conversation of what the investment looks like. And so for many of our companies, and this is part of the value that we bring not only with our VC partners, but internally, is, hey, we have a monthly retainer fee, as any consultant does. And as we put you on government contracts, there's going to be a portion, although a very small portion, of that contract that we would agree to retain in the event you were to win an award. But sometimes it's most advantageous to us and to them and say, hey, instead of us giving you cash after a $1 million award, how about we make a negotiation towards equity? And so we're able to bring on equity through the work that we're doing for them. And so it's a mutually beneficial way to incentivize hard work. We're gonna work hard no matter what from a consultant standpoint. But
sure.
What a great win whenever you're able to get a piece
that's a win-win.
Of the work that you're doing.
Yeah.
Now, do you guys...
Absolutely.
One thing I've always kind of tried to figure out is there a time frame for your equity? Like, so if I'm an investor and I want to put in, let's say $100,000, does the company usually say, okay, the equity comes due or whatever for a piece of the company, let's say 1% of the company, that's when they sell mm-hmm. the company. What if they don't sell it for 40 years? I mean... Is that what the bet is? How does that work?
That's a great question. No, that's a really good question because I would say right now we're fortunate enough to be small enough and to be selective enough to where we can have that conversation specifically every single time. So I would say we haven't codified it, which is a really bad non-answer. Like, well, you know, I could give you a bunch of different scenarios, but we genuinely try to make sense because if you're a really immature company, you're running in a mode that no one knows. You run in stealth mode, excuse me. When you think about probability, it's like running a chicken restaurant. You're probably going to fail within the first couple of years, but you got to give it a shot. Point is, that looks a little bit different than someone that's a little bit more mature. They're ready to put their technology in now. And so we want to have those conversations so that it makes sense for the investors, which a lot of times is us, and for the company. So a non-answer, but that's kind of where we're shaping it right now.
Well,
and Andrew, I don't know if you have anything to add to that.
No, I just would add that, you know, and we have, like Brent alluded to, we have a unique insight into seeing what kind of traction they're getting with the Department of Defense. And when we're looking to invest, we truly want to be in it for the long term because we're in, you know, deep tech, new tech, emerging tech. And it's not a short, you know, short-term play. This is long-term. We want to help that company grow and we want anyone who comes on board that wants to invest alongside LT Capital Ventures, we'd hope that they would want to be in it for the long term as well.
So how is that different from angels then?
It's great. So I would say that having only dealt with them from a distance, because again, we're just now opening our door to that type of situation. That's where you can kind of come in and out. And to Andrew's point, while we want to be able to have that discussion because it allows us to have the capital to make the investments in the right places at the right time, we also want people in there for the long haul, knowing this is kind of a slow burn. It is the government. Yes, this is the a faster way, you know, and we want to be working with companies that are seeing success commercially as well, not just within the government. But not that we would actively say no to it, but the typical angel model may not completely jive with the slow burn that goes with investing with companies that are going to take the time to mature and see those returns.
So I think the moral of this, oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, what I would add is that, you know, I think the difference between angel and venture would be, you know, the risk appetite. An angel is willing, you know, essentially to lose that entire investment. Now, they don't want to.
Sure.
Whereas maybe your venture capital doesn't have that type of risk appetite as their, you know, other folks are coming in. So an angel would be early, you know, pre-seed to a seed round, whereas venture capital might come in a seed, a series A, and beyond.
Okay, that was a good way to put it.
Yeah, that was a good explanation.
Yeah, I like that.
We appreciate that.
And I think the moral of the story is, as I've talked to more and more capital ventures and angels, I think the moral of the story is it could depend. It could change every single time. It's not always the same. Because like you said, you're able to have that conversation with these companies, because what happens if a company never plans on selling the company? Well, that's a bad investment then, right? Because that means you'll never get your money back if that's the way it's
at least planned. Not, yeah.
Well, potentially, but not always, right? Because you could choose to sell your investment, your equity piece at a later round,
sure,
right? And so you're hoping that the valuation continues to grow. But the payout might not be as substantial as if the company was to sell or go public.
Okay.
Yeah, that was good.
You're next.
And along those lines, when you're thinking about the companies that we work with, dual use is a word that they use, and dual use is that defense and commercial piece. And so these things have often already been established in some way. So we know they exist very early on, but we'd like to work with companies that have already seen some level of investment before we really dive in, especially from a civil advisor standpoint. It's going to make them more competitive when it comes to working towards these government awards.
So I like your guys' explanation. Thank you. And I also like your model. I appreciate what you guys are doing. So I'm, you know, out there, I got this cool toy. I got this cup, and it's going to be a great cup. And actually, I did meet somebody who had this foldable cup. But anyways, so how do I get into the process with you? Talk me through, you know, how do I find out about you? What's the first thing we're going to do? You know, is there an application? What's the process?
So you can go to our website, cyberadvisors.com, first and foremost. And I mean, and then I'll let Brent go. But you can also reach out via email. I mean, we left the government, you know, at least I did, because I didn't like the bureaucracy. And so I don't want a form to be filled out. Shoot us an email, call us. We'll connect you with Sam. Sam, you know, is still leading a lot of cyber advisors, business development, and bringing on new clients. And he's got the, you know, the ins and outs of what that retainer looks like, what that percentage of contracts looks like, and how we can work together to see if, you know, there's benefits there, and to see if they want to bring us on as a consultant.
So it starts with a dialogue. I like that.
Exactly.
Well, absolutely. And part of it too is I don't know from your listenership who knows SBIR. Maybe you look it up. I highly recommend it, especially if you're running a startup. But a big part of the beginning of our conversation is determining if you're a good fit for CIBR, and then beginning to dive into the details and why it's a beneficial program to look into. And then we can have an understanding of your win rate and things like that. And so we have to talk through it, because we need to you can't devote any amount of resources to SBIR unless you understand the path from phase one to phase three and what that looks like for your company. And I think oftentimes you'll find if there is a defense need, it's pretty enticing, and it can be a pretty fun road because it goes a lot quicker than any other avenue that we've traveled before with government procurement anyway.
Right. And there's actually quite a sum of money. You mentioned earlier, you know, going from, you know, whatever it was, $50,000 to $50 million. But those types of funds are out there. I think that's also important to our listeners to know that if you have some tech and you think that it's something that, you know, can be used and DOD needs, wants, that you know, maybe the money won't be initially up front, but it's enough money to get you going. It's seed money to get you moving. And then as you move into production and beyond that, that's where the money starts really flowing.
Absolutely. And you can start small like that at $50,000. And for the Air Force, their model is, hey, get $50,000, 3 months, go find a customer, go. That's it. You find a customer, you immediately have an opportunity to be able to propose on $750,000 contracts. And this is, again, just one example. SBIR money is used in a lot of different ways from a lot of different organizations, but it happens quick. And it just, you know, you just got to follow the path, trust the process, so to speak. And if your tech delivers on a need within in the defense, you know, I personally think there's no one better than us, but we'll find a way to make sure it gets there.
How do I find out if, you know, I got an idea, how do I find out if it's something that the government wants? I guess that's the first place to start. Other than talking to you guys, if I'm like, you know, Joe Schmucky and I got this idea, and you're like, well, I wonder if the government would
join
like
the Smalls, who has tech scouts as part of the Smalls, and we help you make those connections. That's what we do.
That was a good lead in there. I was trying to lead in. No, I was serious though. Is there like a website out there that, I mean, there's SBIR website, but if I'm like, if I don't know any of these things, you know, how do I know where to go other than if I Google it, I guess?
Well, Andrew, yeah, I want you to fill in what we say what you can, and I'll fill in the gaps because there's a lot of ways.
Yeah, so I would say, first off, you know, go to DOD, SBIR, SCTR.gov, check out the open topics, check out what they're looking for. You know, they spell it out right there on the website, you know, what exactly they're looking for in open topic, what kind of tech they're looking for. Go to FBO.SAM.gov, look at, you know, do a search for open solicitations and see what the government's looking for. And with that, you know, I would also say, look at what our senior leaders are talking about. You know, the NDA gets published, and as we shift from the counter-violent extremist organization threat in the Middle East, and we're shifting a strategic shift in our focus as a DOD over to near-peer competition. You know, so we're no longer fighting against organizations that are using, you know, AK-47s and drones to drop mortars, and, you know, they've got some small RPGs and maybe some other equipment. We're moving on to focusing on our near-peer adversaries. And so what does that entail? And it's very clearly spelled out in every 4-star's testimony on Congress. You know, it comes down to the cyber threats that are out there. It comes down to the threats in space. It comes down to utilizing artificial intelligence to make faster decisions, to provide, you know, more clear data for our commanders on the battlefield, make split-second decisions that, you know, will save lives. And so you can, as you follow, you know, these organizations, and as you look at those websites, you look at, you know, the NDAs that are put out, and you watch testimony, it becomes very clear of what kind of tech they're looking for. And if you still don't think that your tech might be a fit, I always say, you know, the government doesn't know what it doesn't know. And so you showcasing your tech and thinking it could be used in one way, they might go, hey, that's great, but actually we could use it this way. And it opens up a whole new door of possibilities.
Pivoting.
Well,
nice.
And I was actually serious about that, right? I mean, that's one of the things that we are implementing in Smalls 2.0 is, if you have tech out there, join the Smalls as a paying member, and we will help make those connections for you, help get you in front of
these guys,
help make introductions. We'll help do whatever we can to help you make that next level. So, yeah.
So, okay. So you gave us the web. You kept me out.
Sorry.
I'm not feeling the love. You're having a rough day today, Nate.
That's just bad.
Oh man.
It's going to be a fun podcast. Hey, so you told us how to get a hold of you. Are you guys at any events coming up here soon? Are you guys, you know, do you travel, or are you just specifically virtual web-based, or, you know, people can come, can they visit you somewhere?
Sorry. Andrew, you're going to the Space Symposium. I know that. We're going to AFA in Washington, D.C. Anything innovation, we try to be at. But, yeah, there's a, tell them about that symposium, which I think is in that neck of the woods.
Yeah, we'll be at the Space Symposium out in Colorado Springs at the end of the month. We, like Brent mentioned, we'll be at the AFA. And a lot of times we go there to meet with potential end users, but also we have current clients that will come and set up a booth, and we help to facilitate those conversations.
Okay.
Again, you know,
I was going to make you an offer. So if you need space talk to Nate and I afterwards, and we'll hook you up if you need some office space to maybe have meetings or whatever.
We'll talk that. And then, do you guys have a booth at the symposium? Okay.
We do not have a booth this year at the symposium. I think that'll be something that we look to next year. Space is something that we're starting to really focus on. Okay. And so I think next year that'll be something that we consider.
So, and you guys don't have brick and mortar yet, right? You're virtual or like one of these events?
Man, I'd be surprised if we ever do, just because it's going so well. And of course, you know, hey, I hope this podcast is timeless, but you know, COVID is having it's running amok. But it's been going really well being all remote.
Right, right. So, well, it has for the podcast too, yes. And so, okay, well, we want to, you know when you guys are going to be at events, and we will help you promote that, as Nate just mentioned. So we'll make sure they get the word out. And like I said, we'll also make some facilities available to you guys as well. If you want to meet with clients or whatever, we can help you with that too.
Well, and here, and I'd like to meet with you guys. I mean, we'll talk later too. But
we need to get this broadcasted before the symposium.
Well, yeah, this will go out. But we're going to get you guys also. We want to meet you guys in person, Andrew, because you guys will be here and we live here. So
that would be great.
Yeah, we'll do another podcast.
We can actually do that. We can do a follow-up. That's fine.
We'll do one for them now on their...
Do it in person.
We might do it on the floor. Just go start getting people at the...
Well, we need to do their LT... What's your podcast? Oh, here we go. Okay. I was going to lead into it. What's the podcast?
Brent, what's your podcast?
Okay, so this is unrelated, depending on who you ask, but I do a podcast called Corporate Captains, and that is specifically for officers considering the transition, particularly mid-career officers, is you're like, hey, man, I mean, I'm grateful for the Army, the Marines, the Navy, Air Force, this career that I've been given, but it's time for a change. And so I'd like to at least have that conversation, which is extremely difficult to do while you're in the uniform. And so we just try to have a candid breakdown of, hey, here's what it looks like. Here's how to prepare. Let's go. And so it's called Corporate Captains. I do it with my partner, Jay Adams, who's a former Marine.
And is it Spotify and all the rest of those? What platform?
If you Google it, you'll find it. Everything. I think I found every platform, and I put it on all of them. Okay. If it's not on the platform that you're looking at, you're on some crazy platform I've never heard of.
So I would tell you that all that's in my mind, you know, which is, you don't want to go there, but in my mind, Corporate Captains, LT Capital Ventures, the whole SBIR, STTIRs, because I know when I was a junior officer, you know, the JMO thing was a big deal where people were recruiting for the JMO, yes, the Joint Military Officers, getting out. And a lot of it had to do with, well, what is your next step? You know, if you don't want to stay in, are you going to go work for, you know, Pfizer or one of these other companies, or are you going to start your own business? And most people, I would suggest, don't do their own business thing. But that is an option out there for folks, you know, and getting in, if they have mm-hmm. an idea and they want to get in some kind of tech, there you go, right into you guys. So I would say that, yes, it is connected, at least in my mind.
I love that. I love that.
There you
and
go.
And I know that we're getting short in time, but I just want to say thank you to you guys for what you're doing, because when I'm talking and we go to these events, I personally, and I know this is true for Andrew too, we spend a lot of time talking to the defense customers and end users. Like, I want our clients to be successful, because that will make us money, it will make them money, and that's huge, that's important. But it's not nearly as important as understanding what's going on, what are their pain points, what are the things that provide actual value to them. And sometimes that means we never talk about any of our clients. We just learn. And so the posture that you guys have here on this podcast and what you guys are doing with the smalls is super enticing for us in terms of wanting to collaborate, but also it's great to know that there's others kind of doing the same thing. Yes, we want to be successful. We want to make money, but we can't start there if we're going to be successful.
That's right. And Dennis and I, we were asked that for the first 2.5 years of doing the smalls of, why do you guys do this? Do you guys make money off this deal? And we're like, up till this year, we were self-funding this ourselves. There was no money. The reason why we did it is just to help out. With the idea of someday, you know, people won't forget about the small guys.
Yeah, but we're still not making any money.
Well, we're getting there. No, we're making money off this podcast. I think we've got $100 in there now or something. No,
we do because we want to help.
I run a podcast too. I know it's a money sucker.
We're like you guys. We want to help. Now you guys are doing a little better job because you have a revenue stream, but we want to help companies to, and that's our motto, right? Network, collaborate, and grow. We are about not just about us, really. It's actually not about us. It's about helping the companies to grow, and then on the flip side, helping the economies to grow. Really, in the end, it's economic development.
It's really economic development. Yes. In the end.
And so that's what we are about, and I think that's what you guys are about, too. You're looking for that win-win, or the my favorite's a win-win-win, if you can pull that off. So
If the economy grows, that means that we're all doing better. So, guys, yeah. I want to say thank you guys for everything you guys are doing, and thanks for coming on the show. We are short on time here. I want to finish up here by just making sure I got your guys' web address correct. It is SBIR Advisors, ADVISORS.com. Is that correct?
Correct. That's the one.
Okay. And the other one is?
You start there.
Okay.
Don't waste time with the other one, only because that our funnel starts there in terms of like opening the dialogue.
Okay.
Not that we're shy about giving it to, but I think that's a great place to start. You can connect with us. And then I would look up me and Andrew on LinkedIn. We're happy to have a conversation anytime.
Okay. Well, that's
I would just add, feel free to email at andrew@sbiradvisors.com, and I will respond, quickly. I won't take a week to respond, so feel free to reach out if anyone has any questions.
And if you're in Colorado Springs, the week of the 23rd to the 27th of August, which is just a couple weeks away, they will be live and in person in Colorado Springs at the Broadmoor Hotel.
And so will we.
And yes, I look forward to meeting both of you in a couple weeks.
Thank you. We appreciate you having us on.
Excellent. Well, with that being said, guys, I want to say thanks one last time. And for the rest of the podcast world out there, this is Just Nate signing off.
Thanks for listening.
You've reached the end of another episode of the Smalls Cast podcast. Connect with us at thesmalls.org. Don't forget to sign up to our newsletter to receive our free materials. See you at the next episode. See you at the next episode.